Please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us, as you do on each and every Sabbath day with the changing of the showbread. We thank you for giving us those things that we need to grow in Christ and to go forth and to glorify you. Please bless everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are sick. We just got word that there's a young woman that's terminally ill that we're going to be having on our prayer list now too. And so, Father, we pray that you bless each and every one of them with an opportunity to find Christ before it's too late. And those that come against us, Father, we thank you for blessing them in the way that you promised to do so, even for King David in his day. And yes, we see it as a blessing because even though it's a little scary for them to experience it, it may bring them to their knees. And we hope and pray that this is your will and that this work that you have given us can go forth and glorify you. And again, we lift up all these prayers unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Lord and our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen and amen. There was a question on the floor that I'd like to address from Denise. She says, so you're saying that a person who's persecuted or killed one of the Lord's faithful servants will be raised up again and experience the seven plagues and then be consumed by Jesus' glory in the last days? And I thought it was only going to be just the Pharisees and the Jesus' time and some of the Roman soldiers that mocked him and placed him on the cross. And I put a couple of verses in the chat room for, I can't even remember who asked for them. But yeah, those who have pierced him, no matter what time in history they did it, they're going to rise up and see Jesus coming so that they'll realize what they did was wrong. But they will not experience all the seven plagues. You know, because we don't know how long the plagues are going to last. We have an inkling, but I don't want to get into that now. But the fact of the matter is that they're only going to be here for a few moments and then experience the seventh plague, the last one. So I can't see them. I mean, in my own personal opinion, I could see them coming out of the graves, seeing Jesus, realizing they messed up, and then bam, the seventh plague takes them out. And so that's about all I'm thinking. But yeah, no, they're not going to be here for the entire seven plagues. So I just thought I'd share that. Okay, where's my notes? Oh, here we go. All right, this is part two, and there could actually be part three, part four, part five, but I don't know if I want to keep doing this because it's just so much happening. But I'm thinking like I'm going to go back to doing this like once a month because there's other things that the Lord would have me share, I'm sure. You know, more on different topics and stuff like that for the benefit of the people of God to get ready for what's already started happening. But sharing these kind of sermons are beneficial as well because it lets everybody know what time it is, and being a watchman, hey, you got to warn the people. And I do have some breaking news that I'm going to share at the end. And so I hope you stay for it because I didn't want to put it at the beginning because I don't know, you know, I don't want to get too wordy because if I do, then it's going to really drag out this whole thing. But anyway, in regards to what's happening now and what's been going on for years, but even more so since Obama took office, it's really gotten out of hand. I mean, as students of prophecy, I mean, we all know about the soon coming Sunday laws that are headed for America, as well as all around the world. We know all this, and we know now that all the churches, including the SDA Church, are going to be instrumental in forcing these long prophesied laws upon each and every one on the planet. Of course, they won't be successful on the elect, but they're going to do this due to the fact that they have bought into the 501c3 financial allurement set up by the government, and so they have no choice but to do as the government demands now, since they signed on to that without checking with the Lord first and his prophetic word. I mean, if they refuse to do as Rome commands them to do now, they're going to have their 501c3 removed. And it's not just America that has a 501c3 either. They got a different name for it in all these other countries, but they're out there. And so, but this means they will then have to deal with millions. Like if they get their 501c3 pulled, if they decide not to do what the government says to do, then the government takes away their 501c3 and they get, you know, millions of dollars in excise taxes and penalty taxes by the IRS. And as expected, they're going to bow to the money just as easily as those pastors did during the Katrina situation when they went door to door with the police asking the people to give up their guns. I mean, obviously, some of those pastors didn't want to do it, but they had to do it. And then in order to make it look it was okay for them to do it, they took Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, completely out of context. It's one thing to obey the laws and one thing to obey the rulers that have been set there and ordained by God to be there, like the police and the authorities and stuff like that. But to do it in an illegal manner, no, it's not God's will. So, but we also know that the Sunday laws will be brought forth, you know, across the board with deception because their main agenda will be to quench the loud cry that the Lord has us doing. And it's going to be going far and wide. It's already started. It's obvious. We see that, you know, the people of God being blessed, so much so that we have to get more bandwidth because we can't hold all the people in the chat room anymore. It's just they fall out. So they don't dare, you know, the powers that be are not going to even take it a chance at making it appear that what we've been warning the people about is actually true. They don't want anybody. That's, you know, they're going to twist it around to where they're going to keep us out of the picture as much as possible, but still at the same time have us be the targets at the end result. And they're going to present. They will keep the present truth that we preach about the real Sabbath completely out of it. And the blessing in all this is that many of the people in those fallen churches are eventually going to understand the truth that we present. I mean, once the desire to be obedient arises in their hearts, and it's gonna, because Revelation 18 is no joke, they're going to come out and to see a major difference between the obedient remnant fruits and the fruits of their corrupt pastors, their deacons, and their elders, or even the people that they trust, they think are Christians, that are attacking us. They're going to see how the ones that attack us see no wrong in lying or you know, doing bad things, and then they see the real Christians that are being attacked on a regular basis and they can only defend themselves, actually having the smiles during the trials and the blessings, and then when it really gets hot and heavy during the plagues, they're not going to have any boils or bloody water to drink. But then it's too late anyway. It doesn't matter, because once the plagues start, we're done preaching. No one else can get saved anymore. I mean, Revelation 22 is pretty plain about that. And I mean, so when it comes to these people that are coming out of these churches and they realize the difference between us and their false leaders, that's going to lead them to follow Christ and come out of those churches, just as Revelation 18 predicted long ago, verses 1 to 5, in case you're wondering. And that's why I put it up there. I believe that's one of the first notes that I put in the notes for the studies notes, or the sermon notes below. And yes, at this time, the calamities that we see now are going to be even worse because of the sins of men increasing all around the world. And yeah, it has to do with the sins of men. We know what happened during Noah's day, and we know about everything that's going. We know about what happened at, the Gulf oil thing when they put their Corexit all over the waters and stuff like that. That messed up our environment in a major way. It even stopped the, you know how we got jet streams above the planet? Well, you got jet streams, kinda. It's not really a jet stream, but it's a certain kind of currents that are inside the ocean. They've all been ruined because the Corexit caused all sorts of strange problems. I shared all that years ago, and I said, this is not going to go away. This is something that's going to last to the end of the world. As much as they put into those waters, it has ruined the environment of the planet forever, until Jesus, of course, cleans it up when he burns all that stuff up. But ironically, when it comes to these calamities, it's also these calamities that the religious leaders will use as a reason they choose to enforce the false Sabbath of Rome. I mean, they cannot tell the people they want the Sunday laws to shut up the remnant people that keep the Sabbath holy, because it will confirm our message with those that have already left their churches. So instead, they're going to claim that we all need to keep the Sunday holy to appease the Lord so the calamities will decrease. That, of course, won't do anything but further increase the disasters and make things much, much, much worse, which will also allow them to go even further with enforcing the laws far and wide. I mean, they will, of course, fail to move God's prophesied remnant people a single inch, and then the death sentence will be passed into law. It is then the plagues that fall will make the calamities look like a walk in the park. I mean, that being said, are they already leaning towards pushing Sunday laws as we speak? Well, notice the few headlines I am about to share from just the last few months alone. And this is why I say this is current events. I do a Sunday law kind of current events, if you will, in the church, you know, every few months or so. I don't know if you notice with the list of sermons that we've got on the sermon page, but this is just the next one, if you will. All right, this first one, the headline reads, Appeals Court Blasts Obamacare as Unsound. And this was put out on November 17th of this year, okay, last month. And I'm just going to read a small excerpt from each one of these articles, all right? And this one says, another appeals court has ruled that Obama administration is violating Americans' religious rights by demanding employers provide abortifacients. And abortifacients are the morning after pill. In other words, if a girl gets pregnant and she takes this pill, it will kill the child. Even though it's only a few cells big, it is a child. It will kill the baby. Okay, and so they say they're demanding employers provide abortifacients for their employees. But the latest ruling from the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals goes a lot further. It states that the Obama administration's understanding of the law is unsound. The court accuses the White House of trying to force religious believers to practice their faith only in their homes or churches, abandoning it in the public. In other words, when you go to work or you go to school, you're going to have to deal with this. You can do this. You can do whatever you want at home. We don't care. But sooner or later, they're going to say they're going to care because when the Sunday laws come, you can't even keep it in your home, right? But as a remnant people, our numbers are prophesied to be small. Still, we've got to keep praying about this Obamacare law that seeks to force Christians to make a choice between God, you know, between God's law and man's law. We know it's wrong to kill babies in abortion clinics as well as the elderly and the disabled in the death panels. And we know killing babies is very much what happens when a girl takes the morning after pill. But man says it's okay to kill them. And so they look to force Christians to pay for the option in Obamacare. Sadly, many Christians are failing to trust God in this area, and that is Satan's plan. I believe Obamacare is nothing more than a preamble to the mark of the beast, a testing of the waters, if you will. If the enemy's souls can get the Christian people to sign on to Obamacare out of fear of losing their jobs or their insurance, then it will be childishly easy to get them to receive the mark of the beast later on. I mean, after all, breaking commandment number one or breaking commandment number six is just as bad as breaking commandment number four. But abortion has been going on since the 1970s, and some Christians have actually grown complacent to the whole thing, like it's no big deal anymore. See, that's what I was talking about earlier in the study about lifetimes. It's very difficult to reach people that have set themselves in their way, especially when we're up in years like 40s, 50s, and 60s or 70s, you know, and they figure it's always been this way all throughout their lives. To try to get them to realize this is not how reality is. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how life was designed by your Creator. And so a lot of people have this mindset. They figure, well, since it's been legal for so long, it's no big deal. The Christians failed, and so it must not be that bad. Otherwise, God would have stopped this abortion thing. It doesn't work that way. If it did, you wouldn't have said any of the babies would have not, none of the babies would have been killed in Moses' day or in Jesus' day. You know, when they killed the babies. So this next headline is, it says atheist mega churches take root across U.S. and then of course the world. And this came out on November 11th, 2013. I'm just going to read one sentence. Two sentences, or three. Anyway, it says it looked like a typical Sunday morning at any mega church. Several hundred people, including families with small children, packed in for more than an hour of rousing music, an inspirational talk, and some quiet reflection. The only thing missing was God. All right? That's right. We see here, even the atheists will agree with Rome to keep Sunday holy when that day comes. They even have... Isn't this sneaky the way the devil did this? Because you wouldn't think that atheists would ever bother here with keeping Sunday holy. They don't want anything to do with religious laws, but hey, I mean, they now have a website acknowledging Sunday as their day to gather as a godless congregation, as well as a video to promote their Sunday assembly. And I got links to all this if anybody wants these, but I think they're in the notes too. But, I hit the mic. They're going all out on this one. And what they fail to see, however, and this is par for the course for those that deny God, that grants wisdom to see such things, is the fact that their meeting on Sundays makes them easy prey for Rome later on. Still, I can't help wonder if Rome was personally involved in helping them choose Sunday as their day to mock the Lord at the start. I mean, it's no different from what we see the devil doing in reality, like with the Jews, for example. The devil doesn't care if you keep the Ten Commandments, and he doesn't even care if you believe in Jesus. He just doesn't want you to keep the Ten Commandments and believe in Jesus. I mean, Revelation 14 is pretty plain. So he does not want you to keep them both. It's the same thing here with the Sunday laws. He doesn't care if you actually go to church on Sunday. I mean, case in point, they've got Sunday laws like minuscule ones in certain areas. The Catholic Church tells the Christians, well, the Catholics anyway, that you can't do this or can't do that on Sunday. But they don't. They do it anyway. It's like it's no big deal. It's not a big problem for them. And so when they pass the Sunday laws, it's not like they're going to get in trouble for going into a store and stuff like that. I mean, like, for example, like I said, they got some Sunday laws in some countries where it's okay to shop on Sundays, but only for a limited amount of time. It's not really a Sabbath. They don't really care. They just want you to acknowledge Rome when that day comes. Right now, it's not a big deal, but soon they're going to make it a big deal. And so it's the same thing with the atheists. And in so doing, when they're approaching, when they're approached by the Vatican to acknowledge Sunday as a global day of rest, they're going to gladly do so, thinking, as they do right now, that in so doing, it's going to allow them to further mock God. That they think instituted Sunday in the first place, right? So, I mean, deception really runs deep in this today's end-time society. And one more thing, have you noticed? The way they're designing their church gatherings is an exact copy of all the fallen churches out there that use rock and roll music, preacher-tainers, and playwrights, as well as huge assembly halls to gather for fun once a week. It's not church at all. It's churchianity. All right, this next one here, it's just a headline. It's a video. And it was put out on November 5th, 2013, so I'm just going to read the headline. It says, Presidential Power Grab, POTUS Issues Preparation for Climate Impact, right? This is, like I said, actually the headline of the video. It has no comments in the description area. But if you listen between the lines of what's being said in the video, you'll see that Obama is linking all the calamities together in what he's calling now a climate change task force, using global warming as the Gore-inspired favorite excuse. You know, Al Gore with all that. And so, in other words, he is actually laying the groundwork right now for the excuse that they will need, we're all going to need to keep Sunday holy to prevent further calamities. Now, yes, we know global warming is bad science, and it's a bold-faced lie. In fact, we even have documented evidence that we're in the midst of a mini ice age. I mean, here in the Midwest, it's not something you have to convince anyone out here. I mean, especially since we never seem to have a fall anymore. I mean, it's not even winter yet, and we had already had below zero nights and 9 to 10 inches of snow on the ground. And just the last 2 days now, it rained, and now all the snow is gone. Still, the global warming lie worked well for their political reasons, and so they're going to milk it for everything they can, even after it gets exposed. But why do this now? It allows for a way to conglomerate all the storms, the droughts, the floods, and the wildfires under one climate change task force now. And this is why Obama's doing it. When the calamities increase, and prophecy says they will, the enemy of souls can use them to their advantage so as to further persecute the Christians proclaiming the loud cry. The message we preach is already emptying the pews as we speak, and the 501c3 preachers are already bending Obama's ear on this. They need a way to quench the truth we preach about God's law and the obedient Christian, especially when this message goes spiritually viral, if you will, across the globe as prophecy promises it's going to. Once we reach that latter rain-infused position, the government-funded pastors will have the means by which to lobby for legislation that claims Sunday laws are needed to stop these calamities. And now that Obama has allowed for the calamities to be conveniently gathered under one political regulation, or climate change task force, as he calls it, enforcing one law, as opposed to enforcing a whole slew of them for all these different types of calamities, is going to make it much more easier for him. And again, we know they only push the Sunday laws to try and shut us up. But they can't say that about the law of God publicly, like I said earlier. So, but Daniel the prophet said he would do this, you know. And so instead, as they have done before, they're going to proclaim a need to appease God so as to, you know, stop the calamities from increasing. I got to stop hitting the mic. I talk with my hands sometimes. So anyway, it's going to get much, much worse for them when they do these things, of course. But this next one here is, it's titled, Christian Sues Over Sabbath Working. And this came out on October 20th, 2013, just 2 months ago. Okay? And it's just one sentence I read from the article. It says, a devout, and they made a devout in capital letters. I didn't do that. They did it. It says, a devout Christian is mounting a test case in the Court of Appeals this week for the work right now, for the right not to work on a Sunday, okay? Now, I must say I would like to present, to be present in this courtroom, you know, when this goes to before the bench. I mean, seriously, I mean, the fact Sunday is not considered a Christian Sabbath in Scripture is bound to come up if the attorney for the defense knows his Bible. I mean, it's no mistake they use the term devout when describing the Christian either. I mean, what I would also assume with will happen is that the attorney for the woman filing the lawsuit will make sure that they have a Catholic judge, and they will most assuredly place the admitted Vatican doctrine above the Bible in his arguments, because they worship the Pope. That's just another form of worship, is agreeing with him over and above that which is written in Scripture. So, in any event, it's lawsuits like this that will allow more and more magistrates to be settled in their hearts that Sunday should be protected and then eventually enforced by law. This next one came out on October 7th, 2013, and it says Cash Bern, B-E-R-N, and it says the Swiss may grant unconditional income for all. And I got a sentence out of their article. It says, Swiss citizens are demanding a crucial change in the Constitution, pushing for the introduction of a guaranteed income for everyone. Now, they say the citizens are pushing for this, but we all know it's the politicians. They always act like it's their constituents are the ones that want this. But the point is, if in fact they do this, it will guarantee every citizen would then be paid by the government. This is Switzerland's sneaky little way of emulating the food stamp scenario that we have here in the United States. Once the Swiss officials do this, it would force every citizen to agree to any laws, including new ones that will crop up quite soon. That is, of course, if they want to continue getting their paychecks. And one of these laws will know, you know, the ones that creep up will know about, you know, it'll be the long prophesied Sunday law. Now, so if they disagree with it, their paychecks would stop immediately. I mean, it's simple, but effective, I think, right? And no, it's not too far-fetched for me to assume this or for them to do this. I mean, is not America doing the exact same thing now, only slightly different approach with welfare? Right now, it's over 60 million people in the United States of America that have some form of welfare now. 60 million. I mean, the bottom line is this. The governments need absolute control over every citizen that this is going to work. And no, they don't have to have everybody on welfare to do it. Most of the affluent, you know, the rich, already bow to whatever the church and state demand of them because it makes money for them, and they don't care about the Bible. They don't, Mark of the Beast, sure, I'll get it, no big deal. They don't care. They'll even laugh about it and say, yeah, because they're mostly atheistic in their approach anyway. But the majority of the poor, they happen to reach out to God on a regular basis, and they know it. The powers that be know it. So they decide to give them what they need, or think they need, so as to have them bowing in unison right along with the rich when the day comes to enforce the mark. And as for the agnostic or the atheist or the scoffer or the Satanist or the rich or poor, it doesn't matter. They simply see no danger in any of this. And therefore, they too will comply willingly. Never before in the history of mankind do we see absolutely every ability to enforce the mark being available like it is today. And this next one here, it's titled, and it came out October 6th, 2013, the very next, or the day previous to the previous one. See, I'm going backwards here with the way the dates are. But it says, are biblical marriage proponents subject to discrimination? And the excerpt says, a Republican congressman out of Idaho, out in Idaho has different ideas and says that he wants the alleged discrimination to come to an end. Representative Paul Labrador has submitted the Marriage and Religious Freedom Act, asking that those who have beliefs that differ from liberal trends be protected under the law from discrimination. The bill has gotten strong support from fellow representatives and appears to have a chance to go far. Now, again, as usual, the devil's in the details here. On the surface, this may look like a good idea. Just because people believe differently than homosexuals, it should never be okay for them to be freely persecuted, as we see with, you know, what's happening right now. But as more and more religious laws come to the table, Sunday laws will be that much easier for them to pass. Because no one's going to balk anymore. We've got so many religious laws already, it's just one more. No big deal, right? And after all, was it not both marriage and the Sabbath itself that were first instituted and sanctified in the Garden of Eden by our Creator? Therefore, it's only natural that the enemy of souls will target these two blessings with a passion. I mean, it's no mistake that one attack benefits and bolsters the other. Sadly, the majority of Christians refuse to keep God's law so as to be blessed with the eyes that see what's going on here. This is, of course, includes the present-day SDA Church. And so they will miss the prophetic undertones on all this. Now do you see why only a few will be prepared for the coming of the Lord? And then this next one came out September 27th, 2013, and it's titled, How Obamacare Will Subsidize Abortion. And it says, an analysis by Charlotte Lozier Institute published this week suggests that the number of abortions that will be heavily subsidized via federal premium tax credits and Medicaid expansion is likely to be between 71 and 111.5 hundred thousand per year. 111,500 a year. I mean, look closely, and you will see the hand of hell in Obamacare. I mean, we've been seeing it for a while, of course, but the law of God says thou shalt not kill, and I went through over this earlier. And so this all has to do with them, you know, breaking commandment number 6 so as to get the Christians later to break commandment number 4. I mean, after all, at that time, breaking commandment number 4 won't be a piddly temptation of refusing to condone sin. Because right now, that's really all it's looked at. Right now, people are looking at breaking commandment number 6 with abortion or paying, you know, using, you know, paying Obamacare so that you can kill babies. They think it's just a piddly temptation in regards to condoning sin. You know, I'm not going to kill any babies, but if they want to do it, yeah, okay, I ain't got a problem with it, you know, I'll pay. But when it comes to breaking commandment number 6, number 4, rather, you're asked specifically to break it. But since you've already, if you already go ahead with the Obamacare and, you know, and go with that, then it's going to be that much easier for them to go with, to get you, to follow after them. But it says plainly in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 26, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so some people are going to have a hard time with this because they don't want to lose their jobs. You can't keep your job if you refuse to have them deduct from your paycheck Obamacare stuff. You know, now, not all states have the abortion thing in them, the abortifacients thing, you know. I know Indiana doesn't. So we might be getting a bunch of people to move to this state, I'm sure. But a lot of states don't allow for it. And it still isn't solidified. I mean, Obamacare still looks like it could fail, but, you know, Obama's not going to give up on this. And if he fails, and if Hillary Clinton gets in there next, she was all about health care when she was, you know, the first lady. So, you know, she's going to push it, and she might change its name or something. But anyway, this next one here, I'm just going to go over this one quickly. It says, Congress approves creation of a new envoy as religious attacks rise globally. And that's September 25th. 2013. And it says, will a special envoy guarantee these communities survival and even flourishing? I do not know, Wolf said in a speech before the House earlier this month. But I am certain that to do nothing is not an option, lest on this administration's and this Congress's watch, we witness a Middle East emptied of ancient faith communities, foremost among them the Sunday people. Now, it's no mistake, they're calling the Christians Sunday people. In this political push, soon new laws will be set in place to protect the Sunday people, and anyone keeping the real Sabbath of the Lord will be that much easier to target as the enemy. We will stick out like sore thumbs. That being said, I have to ask those that have laughed and ridiculed students of prophecy regarding Sunday laws and the special protection that will be eventually afforded them, or for the Sunday people around the world. I mean, do you still think the prophecy regarding Sunday laws and the mark of the beast is bogus? If these scoffers do, I have a question to ask them. Why are they doing exactly as the prophecy said they would? And then this next one here is September 25th, 2013. It says, Christians urged to speak up at city council meetings on duty to obey God. All right? Now, this is another little sneaky one. It says, a Christian political columnist and TV radio commentator has launched a national effort to make public officials aware of the fact that their first duty is to obey God and to administer His word. Now, on the surface, this idea kind of makes one wonder if this will work. I mean, doesn't it? I mean, as is painfully obvious, most that work in government positions aren't famous for their Christian morals. Still, it is a good idea and should be repeated nationwide. The only problem is prophecy will be fulfilled. No matter what they do, they won't stop what's already headed our way. But it just might garner a few more souls into the heavenly courts instead. And what I mean is, as the Christians do start getting more vocal, those in the courts will hear them and be affected by them. Now for the sobering thought on this. Most of the Christians in America aren't obedient to the Lord. They just claim His name. I mean, that means the political leaders that get affected by them will be more apt to do as the lukewarm Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 type of Christian will suggest. And thanks to the 501c3 pastors having the ability to lobby law, we will see the Roman Catholic version of Christianity enforced as laws of the land, as their duty to obey God, as this columnist suggests. It is then the real Christians will become their target. And not to worry, obedient ones, if you've been reading your Bibles and praying morning, noon, and night, as you should, you will be prepared for that day. Don't worry about it. You have God's word on that. And then finally, I had to add this next article because many thought Sunday laws could never go global because the Jews keep Sabbath holy. But this headline is July 23rd of this year, and the headline says, Orthodox Jews denied benefits for refusing to work on Saturdays. And a little excerpt says, unemployed Orthodox Jews have been denied benefits because they cannot work on Saturdays, according to strict religious guidelines. The Jewish Chronicle reported that the government is investigating claims that staff in job centers in the Northwest said that their policy to require staff to be available at weekends for work. Now, if you trust the Lord and have studied his prophetic word, you did expect this. When after years of debate, which finally culminated into the Jews agreeing to officially keep Sunday holy back in February of this year, we expected the powers that be to start applying the spiritual thumbscrews upon the more orthodox sector of the Jewish community. We expected all this, but I must say, I didn't think it would happen this quick. I mean, exactly 5 months to the exact day, in fact, it happened. In any event, we did expect this to happen, and they have done exactly as prophecy said they would. Still, did you notice the craftiness of Rome that the prophet Daniel predicted in all this? In order to get the Jews to deny the eternal Sabbath of the Lord, the Vatican would first need to get them to agree to Roman Catholic dogma on the onset. When the Jewish leaders agreed to keep the Roman Sabbath holy, the Vatican knew they had them by the throat. And now we see they're stealthily going for the jugular. So, okay, the next topic. Now, I'd like to touch on this in regards to the spread of homosexuality in our society today. And yes, I touched on this last November in the sermon series about the signs of the end, and that sermon series went all the way through to March, from November to March of 2012. It's that page on the website now. It's called Very Near the End. But some new developments are afoot, and this needs to be addressed, especially since Jesus said what he said in Luke 17, verses 26 to 30, where he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, if you're new to the SDR Church, you may want to take a look at a video I did some time ago about homosexual marriage and how it's not only the fault of the lukewarm Christians that the homosexual marriage is now legalized. It was also prophesied that it would be as this in the days of Lot. It's just sad that the lukewarm Christians are the ones that it was brought forward through. Okay, and if you're with us for at least a year in the church, you know about the Very Near the End series that I did. When I got to the prophecies about homosexuality in that series and how Jesus stated it will flourish in our day, I only touched on the obvious signs of its acceptance into society everywhere we looked. And I did comment slightly on Obama's pro-homosexual comments, says to better illustrate the fact that the prophecy was in full swing. And now a year later, we see how much it's prophesied, or progressed rather, thanks to the so-called Christian church in America, is sitting on their morals as if it's better to hide the morals than to express them to glorify the Lord. Because we all know, I mean, look what happened with the guy from the Duck Dynasty. He told everybody what he felt the Bible said about homosexuality, and they fired him from his job. So a lot of these Christian leaders, they're weak. In other words, they're in it for the money. They're not in it for the truth. But if you also notice, our political and religious leaders had to step up to the task of embracing homosexuality before it would ever be able to skyrocket, and so it has. When Obama took office illegally, and I do mean illegally, of which I don't have time to desire to explain right now, but when he stepped into that Oval Office, it was clear from day one that he was a puppet of Rome. And as we all know, Roman Catholic priests, for the most part, are homosexual. In fact, when speaking of the beast in Rome, Daniel the prophet stated in Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, that neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. And we know that the Pope calls himself God on earth in many documents. And we also know that on June 13, 2013, numerous online news sources reported that 98% of the Roman Catholic priesthood in the Vatican were, in fact, homosexual. And this accounts for the figures that I got on the website about a decade or so ago regarding that Roman Catholic priests are dying of AIDS 11 times greater than anybody else. So as students of prophecy, we know this, we've known this ever since peering into the book of Daniel. And we also know about the pedophile problem in the Vatican, which is why we see this homosexual marriage legalized today. And what I mean by that is I've been preaching for literally decades that Rome would have to push a homosexual agenda into society in a stealthy manner because of their obvious issues with child molestation, so as to make their lifestyles appear less taboo to the people, while at the same time lower the dollar amounts in their tens of thousands of lawsuits. In fact, I did a newsletter and a radio broadcast back on this back in 2004. Most people, and especially lukewarm Christians, missed this prophetic reality because of disobedience to God's law. Since Daniel prophesied it, and since obedience to God's law is the key to understand his prophecy, all leaders in the fallen churches were blinded by their own sinful ways and therefore completely unable to discern the reasons why and the characteristics behind the homosexual agenda of Rome. This is no different than the church leaders back in 321 AD when they agreed to ignore God's Sabbath for Rome's admitted unbiblical Sunday Sabbath. That's when it started. It was March 6, 321 AD. That's why the 501c3 was passed on March 7, 2006. So actually, the first Sunday law was 321 AD. It was actually March 7th. All right? So when they decided to break God's law, they too lost the ability to understand prophecy. And in so doing, they were completely unaware of how dangerous the Church of Rome was prophesied to be. And that lack of knowledge caused over 500 million Christians to die during the Inquisitions of Rome. And what amazed me about the whole thing is the leaders in those Christian churches back then, they were watching their own members die for the faith that they themselves refused to preach so as not to offend Rome. Well, today it's no different. Only now the majority won't be dying for their faith in Christ by refusing to bow to Rome. Yeah, there's a lot of Christians dying now, one every 2 minutes, yeah. But it's nothing compared to what's going to happen when that sky splits. The entire planet, with the exception of the prophesied Gideon Band, and there are only going to be 144,000 in number when that day comes, will be dying in the seventh plague. And then eventually in hellfire at the end of the 1,000 years. So Isaiah 63, verse 4, clearly says, "For the day of vengeance is mine, is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." So that's going to happen. So when Obama made his pro-homosexual comments that spearheaded the homosexual movement and the marriage movement coast to coast, those that studied prophecy knew it was only a matter of time before Rome chimed in so as to assure this agenda goes global. And we all know Rome couldn't be the first to make the pro-homosexual comments because everybody knows about how, by majority, they are homosexual. So they had to have the so-called leader of the free world, Obama, do it first. That way, doing so after Obama does it only makes them appear that they are there for the people and they're not there for their long prophesied agenda. You know, it's not because they're homosexual. They're just, you know, trying to bolster Obama's agenda. It's only, I mean, it's one thing to have homosexual marriage sanctioned by an American president. It's another to have it sanctioned by a global religious leader like the Pope. Now, I don't call him a religious leader because I believe he is one. I say that because they think he's one. It's the only reason. And so they did just that. And as the prophecy predicted, we now have homosexual marriage running rampant in the USA and just starting its charge forward in other nations as well. And by the way, in September of 2013, just over 2 months ago, it was reported, and I quote, "Pope Francis has reportedly called a young gay Catholic man in France to reassure him about his sexuality." And that's in the Huffington Post, by the way. If the Pope was truly a Christian, or better yet, the leader of 1.2 billion Christians, as he claims, and then 2 billion more in all the churches that agree to call him leader as of June 26, 2000, in the One World Church, he would not be reassuring this young man that his homosexuality is acceptable to Jesus Christ. He would be sharing with him the eternal dangers of such a lifestyle as this. But since Obama already sanctioned it, and public opinion has openly embraced it for the most part, and all the churches in America, including the SDA Church on camera no less, have agreed that homosexual marriage is acceptable. And some leaders, some religious leaders, have even claimed it to be a gift. Can you believe this? On the Oprah show, I saw a preacher say homosexuality was a gift from God. So it was easy for us to say, yeah, the Pope's going to go forward and promote homosexuality directly after America does. It was a no-brainer. You don't have to be a prophet to figure that out. And after all, if he shunned it, he would then be hated, like we are, right? The prophecy will be fulfilled no matter what. It's just going to happen, and it doesn't matter how many fallen religious leaders think otherwise. It's going to happen. And bottom line is this. Look back in the Word of God, and you're going to find that the enemy of souls always looks for a way to trick or force God's people to break God's law. He did it in Esther's day, as well as in Daniel's day. In Daniel, for example, we see that the leaders of the day could see no way to get Daniel out of the picture. So they tricked the king into passing a decree that caused Daniel to be tossed into the lion's den. It says in Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 to 5, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So expect the enemy of souls, brothers and sisters, to do the exact same thing in our day right now. They can't get any dirt on us, and so what they're going to do is they're going to make the dirt, they're going to fabricate the dirt. They're going to make it look like what we're doing is sinful, when in fact we're following Scripture. Remember what I was talking about earlier about the cult and the Catholic Church, how I got a video out that says there's 6 signs to a cult, and the Catholic Church does all those signs? They claim that because we're obedient to the Bible, we're the cult. But because no one reads Bibles, and there's billions of them saying it against our few thousand, most people believe it. Well, that's fine. It's not going to change the fact that Jesus is coming back and he's going to be glorified. So expect this to happen in our day, and especially in our day, because these are the days that the Gideon band comes forth to glorify the Lord more than anyone can imagine. Now in closing, remember I said I got some breaking news? And I did a couple of videos this week on this as well, and I praise God for that new software I found. It still doesn't work the way I like it, but it allows me to throw videos out really quickly. And, but, you know, we still got a lot of videos that are going to be put out, longer ones that that Luke's working on. So don't worry about that. They're still coming. This first one is titled, U.S. Plan Gives Jerusalem Holy Sites to the Vatican. I'm going to read one little excerpt from it. And it says, the exact composition of the international mandate is up for discussion, the sources said. But Kerry's plan recommended a coalition that includes the Vatican. This is exactly what the prophet Daniel said thousands of years ago would happen right near the end of time. Recently, however, as I also stated in the video, there have been some false prophets, and this even happened, you know, back in 1844, around that, well, actually after it, I think probably in the 1860s, some in the SDA Church claimed this, but then they, of course, recanted. But it was predicted to come back, you know, like a sore thumb, and it has. But some false prophets have stated that Turkey is the king of the north, and they would go forth after those holy the holy sites that are in Jerusalem, right? But those of us that study the Word of God, and we do so in the obedience to His will, which allows us to understand what we're studying, Daniel clearly says in Rome that he says that Rome is the king of the north that would be doing this. In fact, in February of 2012, we saw the Pope gain sovereign authority over the Western Wall and then the Temple Mount. And not long after that, and I've got the links and all this stuff on my Daniel 11 defined page, but not long after that, we saw him go after David's tomb, and now we see the United States of America is planning to help him gain even more, just as prophecy said he would do long ago. And as I stated on the site and in that video that I did on this a few days ago, this is huge. I mean, this is a big, you know, I mean, it was just as huge as when they got sovereign authority over the Western Wall. And the people that claim to understand prophecy, especially the SDA Church, they didn't comment on it at all. Or the Temple Mount. No, you got crickets. when the Temple Wall thing went down, or David's Tomb, nothing. You heard nothing from them. I mean, we've been reporting on each and every one of them. Yeah, you go to the Daniel 11 page, scroll down to verse 45, boom, all the articles are listed right there. But still, this is huge. And this is one of these final events that we've been watching for. Only in obedience to God's law and His will can God's people hope to see this truth clearly when the time is right for us to see it. There's a lot of John 14, 29 kind of theology in here. A lot of these prophetic events you're not going to understand until after the event occurs. And so praise God. It not only lets us understand that we understood what we were looking at, but it vindicates the truth we preach. So if you want all the articles confirming the prophecies, notice the link in the notes for the sermon notes. It's box number 20 in the notes down below. And then the last one here that I'm going to share is the one I did about the coin card. And there have been some comments that have a little bit taken me out of context, but maybe it's just some people are a little confused on this or whatever. But let me just now this is my own little headline I built for it. It says, coin card will help enforce the mark of the beast. That's not their headline, but if you click the link, it'll bring it to their actual headline. And here's an excerpt from this article. It said coin, and that's the name of this ID card. They give it a name, and it's called coin. It says, coin looks like a building ID card. A cryptic white or black mystery item with a flat iPod vibe. It runs on a lithium battery and, get this, has a magnetic strip that can be custom programmed to become any swipeable card. And then they go on to list some ideas. It's like a credit card, a debit card, a gift card, Metro card, flexible health and transit account cards, CVS cards, Sephora cards, or even that, I don't know why they put topless teddies in there, but yeah, any card that you use anywhere, it could be used. And then they go on to say that even National Security Agency top clearance, you name it. All right? Back in 2005, I'll tell Claudia to reboot, leave the room, come back in. This will be fixed as soon as we get the new bandwidth, so maybe I should put a limit to the amount of people that can come into the church service next week. What do you think, everybody? We'll talk about that later. But anyway, back in 2005, when I posted the Global ID page on the website, I stated that the real ID card that Congress was planning to force on the American public would have to incorporate all the credit cards that we own into one card, because even your marital status, your religiosity, your educational background, your library cards, your resumes, your home address, your social security numbers, and everything about you, your student ID, everything's going to have to be in there if this is going to work. And their idea for this, the real ID card, it just wasn't going to fly. It didn't have all the bells and whistles it needed. And as we know, the real ID never did come to fruition because many of the governors refused to implement it from state to state. I mean, I would say 20 or 30 of them didn't like it. And so Obama couldn't get any support, or not Obama. I think this started with Clinton, and then Bush was pushing it. But they kept on postponing it, the startup date. They kept pushing it forward, which kind of like ticked me off, because I made statements of this on the air, and I made statements of this on my website saying that they're planning to do this at a certain day, and then they changed the date and made me look like an idiot. But we find out now, everybody found out later, so yeah, they're the ones that changed the dates. So it finally dropped out of sight. And why? And this is my own personal opinion. I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that the reason they just scrapped the whole idea is they were waiting for this coin card to get perfected. They were waiting for something that could actually do what this card can do. And no, for those people that stated on my on the video that I put on YouTube the other day in regards to this card, this is not the mark of the beast. Some people, like they did that with my Global ID page too. It says, no, the Global ID is not the mark of the beast. The coin card is not the mark of the beast. It's a tool for them to use to enforce the mark of the beast. In other words, the mark of the beast is a decision. There's a video about the mark of the beast that anybody wants to watch it, they could see. The mark of the beast is a decision to bow to the Roman mandate and ignore the law of God. The Roman mandate, of course, being Sunday laws or Sunday Sabbath, and the law of God saying it's the seventh-day Sabbath. That's a no-brainer. But they got to have technology to be able to force you to keep it, right? And so if you refuse, then they say that you can't buy and sell anything. Well, if all your credit cards and everything that you own, all your digital identities are in a card, and you go into, like, say, your local market to get, a loaf of bread or something, and you swipe it, it's going to come up on the screen that this person has not answered the question whether they will trust or they believe that Sunday is a Sabbath or not, right? And then they won't let you buy anything. You have to put the loaf of bread back on the shelf, or they'll do it for you or whatever, but they say you can't buy anything until you make this decision. And then you try to swipe your card at the ATM, you can't get a dime until you answer the question. you try to swipe your card to get into a room at your school or something, or a hotel or wherever you're at, they have the ability now with this coin card to do, you know, to lock us out. So eventually, everybody in the nation, because it'll eventually, I won't put it past them to actually incorporate this technology into your driver's license. But the picture's going to have to be a little bit, you know, because right now they got a little tiny screen and it's just an LCD, kind of a generic little LCD screen where it tells you which card you're checking or using. They're going to have some kind of a photo on there about you. And I don't think that they would be inept enough to actually print the photo on the plastic, because then you have to get a new card every 3 or 4 years. And the reason they did that, your driver's license always expired every 3 or 4 years, because your face changes when you get older. And they want to keep track of what you look like. And so what they'll do here is they might make a little tiny color screen, because the LCDs are getting cheap now. They can actually bend them now. I don't know if you've seen the new technology. So they can put your picture in there crystal clear, you know. And so, anyway. So, well, see, that's the thing, Alex. If you want to buy land to get out of the city, you're going to have to do it before any of this goes down. You have to prepare now. This is why it's stated in many areas on the website. We've got some documentation in regards to what we believe. You got to get out of the cities now. But then don't worry. The Lord will protect you. It's just like I'm going to close with this real quick because I don't want to go too long. I usually only do 30-minute sermons, and we're at 45 minutes now. But I'm going to give you a little mini testimony of what my wife and I and the kids saw. We didn't know we were supposed to move away from the cities. We didn't know that we were supposed to find work in the cities and work outside the cities. And we didn't know that when we moved away from the cities, that we would find incredibly cheap housing and get a good job out in the city. We didn't know any of that was prophesied. Until later on, I started keeping Sabbath, and I started understanding this, understanding that, and the Lord revealed this and revealed that, and says, wow, I didn't even know I was supposed to move away from the city, but look, we're here. So he'll put things in order for you, Alex, or anybody else who's got a question in this regard. You know, the doors will open, the doors will shut. Everything will happen just the way the Lord wants it. And he'll have you right where he needs you to be, so that when that day comes, either you'll already have the land or you'll be friends with a Christian who does. So don't worry about that at all. Just get as close to him as you can get and everything will be fine. So he will provide a way. Amen. Amen. And you know, and stay close to a lot of the older Christians in this gathering. Because a lot of the people in this gathering, they've got testimonies that will, you know, bless your heart. And this is why we have a testimony service every 3 months that lets the people know that, hey, we're all in this together for one thing, and God's hand is moving. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared the seventh day. I'll be back in a minute. Thank you. I'm going to answer, I got a bunch of PM questions. I'm going to answer them after the prayer. So if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with the word, and especially in the prophetic word, because we're living in those days and we need to be prepared. And so thank you for helping us get prepared. And thank you for calming our hearts and blessing us with the courage to stand firm no matter what. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are in need of salvation. And thank you for the hedge that you have around all the workers, especially those that are in the Philippines that are still doing some, you know, repair work and cleanup. And we lift these prayers up onto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen.